And keep praying that those that need to be there would be there. You know, Easter is a great opportunity to tell people about this simple gospel. Mark prayed it. We're all broken. The psalmist would say, David would say that he was conceived in iniquity. We study Romans chapter 5 that says we inherit it from our parents. Anyone with kids knows it. You don't teach your kids. They just innately learn how to do bad things. That's what they figure out. You know, you show up at home after going shopping and there's that one extra item that you didn't buy. And you wonder, where did that come from? I know my 2-year-old could not have paid for this. Somehow, you know, they learn it young because we're broken. And so we get to share there's an opportunity for your life to be repaired. It's a great time. So invite people. This is the day they want to be invited. They want to know you care enough to invite them on Easter. So invite people. Hey, we got something special tonight. But before that, I just left the hospital with a gal that I've known since. I was just trying to figure out how long I've known her. I remember playing with her little brother when I think I was 6 or 7 years old. So I've known her 30 years or so, and she's in the hospital right now. And the prognosis that Three Rivers is making is not very good. But we have a great physician. And so I just want to take a moment. Her name is Tina Woodrum. And I just want to pray for her before Billy Graham comes up. So if you would just join with me as we lift up that wonderful woman and also that family. Father, I thank you for the fact that all things work together for good to those that love you and are called according to your purpose. I thank you, Lord, that what the enemy would want to use for evil, you can turn for good. I thank you that you are the God of redemption. That the cross turned into salvation. That pain can be turned into joy. And so I lift up to you right now, Tina. And I ask, Lord, for a peace that passes understanding to flood her heart. I pray, Lord, that right now by your Spirit she would be given hope. That she would know that we among all people have a hope. We have the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. We have a great physician that can touch and that can heal. We have a Savior who bore stripes so that healing might flow. And so I pray right now that healing would flow to Tina. By your stripes, she would be healed. I pray for her family, her sons, her husband, her father, those that are gathered there right now. Lord, I pray that they would have hope. I pray that there would be an ability in that family to surround her with love. I pray that this would be used to draw that family even closer to you and closer to one another. I pray that you would use this to further them in their Christian walk. Because all things do work together for good. Sometimes it takes a while to see it. So I pray that they would get a glimpse even right now of that promise. Bless. Have your hand upon that family, Lord. We put them into your hands, knowing that you will keep that which has been committed unto you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have a special guest, 10,000 miles from home. So if you would welcome the Reverend Billy Graham.
Good evening, everyone. It is such a great joy and an honor to be here with you again and to share what God is doing. And I really want to thank you so much for Pastor Matt Haverly and Aaron Freilich and the entire Edgewater Christian Fellowship for being a very much part of the work God is doing in the nation of India. God is moving in a very powerful way now more than ever before. Amen? And I really thank you for young church like this is plugging in with the move of God to see that you are involved in harvesting India for Jesus. And I'm so thankful and proud of you, and I'm so glad that God has put that burden for souls in your heart, that right from here, that you're reaching in the four corners of India for the glory of God. So first of all, I want to thank God, and I want to thank you so much that you are in for a great thing for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I really appreciate for sending Pastor Matt and the team over to us just a few weeks ago, and we truly enjoyed it greatly. I was not there. I was here, but I have made all the arrangements for them to be there and do many things. And the feedback is incredible. There was over 300 to 400 pastors and wives and ministers were there, and they were literally representing over 50,000 believers all over the place, where this teaching was poured in, and it is going out into over 50,000 people's lives, into those churches where we never able to maybe go. But thank you very much again for pouring this solid teaching in the life of those pastors who've been very beneficial by that. India having a huge amount of people. I just want to give a little explanation about how big it is. 1.2 billion people in India. That's 1,200 billion. There is one state in India has about 200 million people. Just in one state, you would be freaking out in no time if you had those kind of people all over you. You will be stepping on people everywhere. I mean, you know, forget about the space thing. That's not going to work. You just have to work with the space there is. I mean, it's a different ballgame there. But in that, over 400 million people, million children are there. Out of this 1,200 million, there's 400 million children. That's more people than entire nation of USA. That's only children in India. That's the next future. And beside that, over 600 million people, they don't know where their next meal is going to be. They're looking for just one meal a day. That's 600 million people, twice as more as U.S. I was looking at some figures and I began to understand 1/5 of the entire world is in India, population-wise. Among that, 1/3 of entire unreached people in the whole world is in India. 1/3. When you reach India, that means you're reaching literally 200 small countries in the world. That's what is equal to one country, that is India. And what a great honor to have Edgewater Christian Fellowship is plugging in this greatest, neediest place on earth, who has history of Hinduism for so many centuries. You know, even from the time of Abraham, they have history of making idols and so many different things. Yet now, in our generation, we get to have a golden privilege, an opportunity to reach these people to Jesus. What a great opportunity. That generation after generation, they couldn't able to see this light. Yet today, by the grace of God, through your involvement, we are able to do a great work for the kingdom of God. And I want to so thank you very much. Several things that your church was involved in the work in, and I know you hear so much feedback time to time. There was a van that was purchased by this church to work in the field of India about 18 months ago. So far, by the grace of God, according to our record, it has gone to 980 villages. That van and literally share the gospel with over 450,000 people in the 18 months of time. Just think about that. Every dime that you are able to put into that work, it is gone far as it can go. in sharing the, this is only 18 months. Almost close to 500,000 people hear the gospel in their life because of this very church right here. And I'm so thankful for your church being a part of it. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Amen! Thank you, Jesus! And I want to so thank you for involving with the children's ministry. You know, since the last 18 months, there are so many things have happened, you know, since your last visit to India. And you guys have been a very faithful people, supporting and praying and keeping us in your prayer for God to do great things. You know, one of the things that we have begun to see is the untouchable children that are, you know, coming into the school now, that we pick them up from the streets and giving them a hope. You know, some of them are 10-year-old, half naked. We bring them and give them a free clothes, books, bags, and the transportation, everything is free. And they are able to learn about Jesus. About 300, close to 300 students that are studying right now by the grace of God. Our goal is to go up to 10,000 children in that Christian school. We don't compromise nothing. When we have our first day of bringing these kids into the place, we tell them we will be teaching Bible every day. We talk about Jesus every day. We pray every day. If Jesus and prayer is not in the school, we have no business. We are not there to just to do a social work. That's great. We are doing that. But we are there to do the soul winning along with the social works. It's all about bottom line is soul that need to get to heaven. Amen? We don't want to do a bunch of good things and then just to get them happy and so forth, then send them to hell. No. We want them to be well and go to heaven. Not well in hell. So it's a different ball game here. So God is really enabling this church to be part of that school work that God is doing. Also, we began to help with the mentally ill people. You know, Pastor Matt probably have shared that. You know, these people are out there on the street and on the roadside that are brought by the family members to visit the temple. Because of the mentally ill, they dump them there, you know, with all this illness and everything. And they are very unapproachable, small. I mean, it's really hard. You have never been anything close to that in here. I have not come across, but it is just a challenge. But to go out and reach out to these people, it takes the heart of God. Literally, believe me. You know, after so much, I really have a hard time sometimes, but I have to really receive the grace as I clip their toenails. These are street mentally ill people and clipping their fingernails, cutting their hair, washing them, cleansing them, putting a new clothes on them, sharing the love of Jesus with them. Not just talking, but action in love. That's what works. And God is really doing that in a wonderful way. About 230 people that we were able to minister to that are totally, you know, dumped by these people. One of these guys I come across on the street that I could not even take a picture. This guy was begging for a glass of tea, you know, chaya tea, you know, from this shop. And the guy was so mad because he was asking this in the morning. He picked up that hot pot of, you know, boiled water just to dump it on his face. And the water just to cook his whole face. Next day, the whole skin came off. And then it was so itching and he just peeled it. And it was just unseenable scene. And when I was out there on the street, there is flies covered his whole face. You can't even see where his eyes and his nose is. I mean, I just had a hard time taking that picture. That's how they've been treated by the local people. But God has given us a heart of compassion as an extension of Jesus' hands, Jesus' feet, Jesus' eyes, to go and reach out to this unloved, uncared people for the glory of God. Amen? And thank you so much for Edgewater for being a part of this work to reach out in touching hand on hand and ministering to these people for the glory of God. And also there is so many village outreaches going on by the grace of God. It has been a real challenge in many ways, but God is really being with our teams and they're going out and sharing the good news. Many baptism, many people are getting saved. There is on and on I can go and share so many testimonies, but God is really doing such awesome things for the glory of God through this ministry. And I continuously encourage you to be a partner within prayer and your support to see India coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have a huge task. India has 1.2 billion people. It will take rest of our lifetime if the Lord delays to come to go to every single village in all of India. That is our dream. We are not going to be just happy with just where we are. We are moving all over, all the way to Kashmir, all the way to Pakistan, all the way to Burma. Our goal is to go throughout the entire nation. Every single village, we want to see our van going there and sharing the gospel during our lifetime. So you are in a trip here for a great haul. So I just pray that God will continuously bless us to accomplish His work in the nation of India. And along the way, there is a lot of challenges. There's one pastor whom we trained and we send out him, you know, onto this field. Jesus said very plainly, we are, you know, just about to face this Easter Sunday. You know, he basically said, take up your cross and follow me. Cross and following Jesus is not talking about you're going to have a great dream by carrying this cross before you. No, sir, you're going to be dying to your dream. Your agendas, your plan, your ambitions, your goal is all going to be gone. You're walking towards death. Taking up the cross and walking is towards the death, towards Calvary. But you know what? When we die to ourselves, Christ began to be alive in our life and He will manifest in a wonderful way. Amen? And here, this brother Abraham and his family, very committed people, they went into this dry area to preach the gospel and share the good news. Faced some opposition but kept on going. And this guy, he got on this bicycle with a bag on his shoulder and had his Bible and tracts and everything, and he was going towards this village. And he went there, shared the gospel during the day, and evening he was coming home just to be with his children. And you know, his first son is Yeshudas, means servant of Jesus, the name means, and his wife was there. So he is coming back home just to see the family again and spend the night. On his way, some radical Hindus, they gathered around him on the field. Then they just start arguing with him, and finally they pulled him out of this bicycle. They pushed him around, then literally thrown him down to the field. And while he was there, they took their knife and cut his head off. And this man, his tract was taken out, his Bible was torn, and the bicycle was broken, and he's just all laying there, and he was laying right at that spot. And the family was still waiting, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and he didn't come. They were very concerned. They got their flashlight to follow the same road that he took that morning. As they were just going with the children, and you know, they're about this big, and mother and everything, just continuing on going, searching for dad. All of a sudden, the light was just caught on this bicycle, silver handle and all that. And it started reflecting. They got closer and closer to this bicycle. Soon enough, they saw their daddy laying on the ground with the totally dead. And blood is spilled all over that place. Just laying there, and the Bible was next to him. Bag was there. Such a hard scene to be seen by the mother, wife, and the children. You know what? They knelt down around daddy, hold hands while he's laying inside, and said, Lord, even though he could not finish his work, we will take it from here. We are giving ourselves to go all the way to carry the gospel. No bitterness, no murmuring, no complaining, knowing that God will give them grace. And today, by the grace of God, the same family is thriving. There's over 400 believers worshiping the living God in the same place where His blood was shed. Nearby there, they have built a big church in memory of Him. And now there's a thriving believers. They're going out from there to reach people for Jesus. Amen? See, Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, I am sending you as a sheep among the wolf. There is some time that you have to face some challenges. But you know, we have Jesus who is always with us, and He has overcome the world. He will give us grace to walk through this situation. And same with us, we can see Father, you know, Jesus talking about that. As Father send me, so I send you. Really? Why did Jesus come? Today, we are whom we are because of Jesus. There are so many people living in darkness, could not see the light. They can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ if we take the Great Commission in our hearts and move, and knowing we are being sent. And Jesus said, you are not alone. Though I am with you throughout the end of the world, with you, wherever you go. So we strongly believe that God is going to continuously help these people that are going out to share the gospel in many places. Also, I want to thank you so much for being involved with the training center. It's been a real challenge in many ways, but God has been so faithful. When we were really in a tight situation, Edgewater came alongside and they just given us a push to get to the hump. And you guys were able to literally, you know, help put one section of the entire roof. This is five sections that we need to do. And this one section, it's a 75 feet tall with a 110 feet span with the concrete roof over. Each section is 400 tons of weight of concrete that need to go from the ground to the top. And the one section is going to be their lifetime. And you have a legacy that God has enabled your church to put that roof on the top. And we are going to be standing inside of this auditorium for years after years, ministering to many, many people. God is going to be bringing many souls there that are going to be get saved. Many pastors that are going to be coming in there. In fact, the program being fixed up all the way until next March 09 to have many, many various meetings. One of the meetings coming up there inside in March 09, 1,500 pastors are going to be showing up from many states of India. They are going to be representing 250,000 believers that are behind this pastor. They are going to be under this roof, going to be trained and poured in. They are going to take this gospel to many places. So I thank you so much for Edgewater again for enabling this vision come alive, come true, where it is going to be ongoing basis. We are going to see a result until the Lord Jesus comes back. So thank you very much for being a part of this great work. And also you very much remember my dad. You know, Pastor Matt has shared with you. Just a day after they left, he was traveling to Chennai to do some teaching in the Bible college. And he was attacked after handing up the tracts in the train. And of course, he arrived there with the totally weak. And they were trying to kill him. Literally, they were choking. And he was in his last breath when he just cried out with that voice, you know, Jesus, you know, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And told Jesus, you know, help me. And they're saying, will your Jesus help? Let's see. And Jesus just miraculously pulled these guys out of there. And he was able to be safe. And now still he's going through some treatment. And he'll be discharged in about a week. And I really appreciate your continuous prayer. But here we are. With all this beating, when I heard, I didn't have quite grace as my dad does. I was like, I need to find these guys where they live. I mean, I immediately called my staff and I was telling, find who they are, and you know, you can track down by, you know, from the compartment and the reservation and everything. And I was giving them, you know, there is a DSP, he's a Christian, like a district collector, and you know, he can get these guys close here. And I mean, so many things going on in my mind. But, you know, I was talking to my dad. He's like, don't go there. Don't go there. That's not Christ-like. I mean, he got such a grace from God that I don't even comprehend quite a bit. And the sweetness of it, he was able to come out of the hospital just as soon as he arrived at Chennai and talk to this young people that was about to graduate, 30 people. And many people were there for the graduation. He shared from his heart. He couldn't even move his jaw, you know, fluently. The lips were broken, scars on his body. These people were weeping and crying, saying, "Lord, send us out in the street. We want to die for Jesus." We can't imagine the 62-year-old man is getting, you know, this beating on his body still going. What are we doing here? It really challenged them. And I just flew him out of that place to another location where he needed to take a 3 hours in a bus from there for this treatment in Kerala. But before that, he said he has one more meeting that he need to be there. It was planned previously. And in this meeting, it's a new church they are opening, and they already have 3 services in their old building. And they got this, 2,000 people going to be attending this church. And for the opening, they did had 2,000 people there. And they gave him 45 minutes to share what God is doing. Oh man. God just came in him in a mighty way. He was sharing such a powerful way about life and living for Jesus at any cost. Life or death, you go all the way. And he was just speaking from his life, showing his scar. He said, end of his message, every single one of them, not one of them, were sitting in the chair. That entire congregation of 2,000 people were standing up and committing themselves to get out and share the goodness of Jesus all over India. He said, I have not seen this much of fruit in 6 months of my travel. Yet in 1 week, I began to see this expediting of God's work, and God began to use this whole thing. What the enemy meant for evil, God is turning around for good. Amen? So there is armies of people, they're willing to go out and share the gospel because of what he'd been through. Praise God. So continuously keep him in your prayer that he is a little bit of having a hard time with this. Hearing, because of all the beating he received here, he is struggling with the hearing much on his left ear. So they're going to take some ENT tomorrow and see what is going on and so forth. But pray for a miracle that he is going to have a better hearing than he ever had before. Because he got still a long way to go to share this news with all of India. So I thank God. God is really going to be doing some awesome things. And just as I said, last year you helped us with sending the team from here with the Vacation Bible School. 3,000 children was in our Vacation Bible School. You were right there supplying the bags and being there to bless the people. And let God bless you guys continuously. And also we had many teams, they are from different places. In fact, from Trail, some people came with Zach and their team, and Sister Rebecca, one of the team members, came over there, and we were able to go to certain places in different mountains and share the gospel. God has spared us from many different dangers, but he is keep on opening more and more door to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So keep us continuously in your prayer. We are with the roof on this training center. We are working on our fourth section. And we are just waiting right now for the steel. But next month we'll be pouring the concrete for that. Then one more to go, which we want to do before monsoon. So that's coming up in September. So before that, we want to go close this whole thing, and we'll be able to constantly keep on going forward to use this facility for the glory of God. This is going to produce our desire before the end of our lifetime, if God wills, that we want to see over 50,000 people going through here for a short and long-term training program. There are churches ready to send missionaries to be trained. What a better way than man like my dad, who been through so much, pouring his heart and sharing and equipping and sending these people out in the field. So that's what we are believing for, to send this massive amount of missionaries out in the field rest of our lifetime. So this facility is going to enable us to produce these people, to send the evangelists and church planters. So keep us continuously in this prayer. We are together in this. Amen. When NASA sent this rocket to moon, they're not sending because it is a cool idea for them. They're sending it on behalf of United States of America. It's not a bunch of people getting together and let's go to the moon and have some fun and come back. No! It's the nation sending them up. And when the rocket took off, then they're not saying, well, let's go home and kick off and have some, you know, fun time. No! They are more careful looking at the monitors and seeing everything and making sure they can get these boys home safely. Amen? So even though we are up front there in the field working in the kingdom of God, God has connected and put our families together, the churches together, the family of God together, to work together to get the whole job done for the glory of God. It's not just us out there, like out in the space. It's together is what we will get this mission complete. So together we are going to see great harvest in our lifetime. So we are believing God for millions of souls that are going to come into the knowledge of Jesus during our lifetime. What is a great opportunity to see our life fulfillment in seeing God's plan fulfilling through our life in many different ways. And also thank you very much for helping this, you know, infant babies that are being, you know, boiled, or they pour boiling water in their mouth to kill this, you know, week or day old. I wonder, I even asked one lady, do you keep a chicken baby if they come out of the egg? Yes, they're profitable. They'll bring money. Yet they will kill a baby. That's human being, because it costs them something to send them away for wedding. So they want to get rid of it when they're only weeks old. So here we have a tremendous opportunity to have this, you know, facility, and we have 11 children right now and 5 caregivers, and we are looking for more and more children that are going to be coming in there. And thank you for literally saving life and touching life. It's all about people. Jesus came to this world to save and seek which is lost. What is it? It's people. He is after the souls. That's what our heart is, to going after, whether that is a baby, whether that is a street man, whether that is people in the mountain, wherever their soul, our heart is going out and reaching out to them. And thank you for being with us as a team to do this together for the glory of God. So keep us continuously in your prayer as we go on. And my parents and my family, the ministry, all sent their greetings to you. And also today is my wife's birthday. Yeah! 26. She has turned 26. So I called her early morning and making sure I'm getting some brownie point here. Even though I'm not home, so I want to make sure I remember and care for her. And she and the children have truly sacrificed me to be here with you. And my boy is, 4.5-year-old, and my youngest one is 3.5. And I'm taking along with me wherever I'm going in many times to see what I'm doing. Mentally ill people. When I was cleaning some of these guys, my boy was crying, standing there looking. He's like, Daddy, why are they like this? I said, would you help also? He said, yeah, I want to do it. How about next year? You know, he doesn't know anything much about it, but he still has a... I'm not trying to keep these guys somewhere there. Whatever I'm involved in, I want to see the next generation, them growing up, exposed to what is the heart of Jesus, how we can serve and minister to these people. And so I thank God for them and keep them in your prayers. I would like to share with you this evening from Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The title of my message is Jesus is Enough to Carry You Through. Isn't that a good thing? Jesus is enough to carry you through. Verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Amen? When did he say this? When the evening had come. Typical evening for us is kind of slowing down, shutting down, taking it easy, get on that lazy boy and kick your feet up and take it, you know, just download your stress and flip that channels and never ending. I mean, there is a couple hundred channels there, you know. That's the one problem with these channel flippers. They are keep on flipping like a flip on the page, but it never stays. Come on! Don't you want to see the whole thing? I want to see it all! Just, if there is 100 channels, they may be flipping all at the same time. It may get locked up. Don't freeze those TVs. And here, that's kind of our evening. We come down and just to relax, just want to take it easy and so forth. But Jesus, for him, he is just starting something. When we think our life is coming to an end and we don't see the next move and it's all over here. Jesus is like, no, even though the day is over, but my plan is not over, just beginning with you. There is no time limit for Jesus. Amen. Here we can see, when the evening had come, he is starting something. And Jesus said that, let us cross over to the other side. Those who have a Bible that has, you know, it says in the red letter, basically, Jesus is speaking. I'm going to compare this with our life, traveling in this life of, you know, the journey of life in this world, going towards eternity, going towards our eternal home. Going towards heaven. And in this journey that we started here, we yield ourselves to Jesus. We accepted him. We given all our bad life and we said, Lord, you come and you live. You be my boss. You be my Lord. Take me from here. We handed our life over to him. Now he is leading our way. Here we can see Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. It is the initiative of Jesus himself initiating this journey. This is not some disciples' cool idea to go to the other side. This is Jesus saying, let's go to the other side. Amen? He's saying, let us travel this journey and get to the eternity, get to our eternal home. And in this journey, we can see that verse 36, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. So Jesus on this probably a little big boat, he's traveling through there, and along with the boat of Jesus, there's also tiny little boats were also with that big boat, traveling all together, going to the other side. Amen? So normally we think, well, I gave my life to Jesus. Now Jesus is Lord over my life. Now everything should be working perfect. Oh yeah, there shouldn't be any mistake. There shouldn't be any problem. Everything should so just flow smoothly. And there shouldn't be any whoops. There should be lots and lots of wow, 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 wow. Never ending this wows. Everything is wow, 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 wow. Life is all wow. They love to hear about wows. I also say wow sometimes, but it's just everything is wow. We think when Jesus is on in our life, everything should be just wonderful. But you know, sometimes that's not the case. Amen? We are living in practicality. We are living in our life with so many interference and so many things that we face. It's not smooth always. You know that. And here we can see Jesus is in this boat. This is not believing in Jesus, hoping in Jesus. This is not the spirit of Jesus. This is literally the physical Jesus on board in this boat. And the boat is sailing as they were going. Just to compare this with Jesus in your life. And traveling here. Verse 37. A great windstorm arose and the waves were beating into the boat so that it was already filling. Come on. What is going on here? Is Jesus in the boat? Yet there is waves coming against the boat? Hello? I don't see what is going on here. Even though Jesus is on board, The wave is coming against, then the water is coming against, the wind is coming, the wave is coming. That sometimes feels like our life. Going on with our journey, and there it comes, you know, problems this way, financial issues that way. We don't know where we are going to pay, how we are going to pay this bill. We are thinking, Lord, I thought you are in my life. Why is it then this sickness being a very challenge to me? Why is it then my son is not obeying me? Why is it then this problem that I'm facing? We are just faced with all these things against this boat. Amen? Jesus is in it. We are traveling together here. Yet these things are not, they are coming against us. So here we can see, as they were going along, and the waves are beating on the boat, so it was already filling. You know what that means? When the boat gets filled, it sinks. With everything in it, sinks. But you know what? If you got Jesus on your boat, if you got Jesus on board, you are not going to sink with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Oh yeah! You believe it. You are not going to sink with Jesus. He's not going to drown you down there. He's going to get you going. Amen? The important thing is to know that He is on board. Make sure that your life is in His hand. You are seeking Him. These people are not... Now we can see continuously afterwards. While all these things are going on, Jesus is just taking His nap. Wow, wow, wow. What a great God. One of those wows again, you know. Here we can see, but He was, verse 38, but He was in the strain, asleep on a pillow. Oh, wow! How could He do this? And these people are saying, and they woke Him up. And they said, Teacher, don't you not care? We are perishing. We are dying. We are sinking. You know, don't you care? You are snoring. How is it this possible? His phone is on silent mode. Believe me. They keep on ringing, but it goes, but there's no response. And these people are freaking out. They're thinking this is going to be the last day of their life. That's what it feels sometime in our life. When things are coming against us, challenges and situation, circumstances, we think, oh Lord, I see this is probably my last day. I don't see the next day. I don't see the next moment. I don't know I can make it to the next one. Lord, I just feel like I'm drowning. Help me. See, the neat thing, what they really did, they didn't go after the waves and the wind. That's a cool thing, isn't it? When the problem came against them, they were not going after the problem to solve. They were going to Jesus, who is the source of everything. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And they went right to Jesus. What we do, we try to just to go and try to fix up everything. You know, one thing I learned in my life, the less of ourselves, the more of Jesus steps in. The more we get to do things, the less He has to do. Because we are doing it anyway. And it's wearing us out. We are burning out. It's time to rethink and say, Lord, if you are going to do this, I'm going to just trust you. But you know, it takes us to trust more in Jesus than doing. Doing, we all like to do it. Because we know we got this under control here. We can do this thing. But there are situations, wave you don't have control over, wind you don't have control over. But if you can keep your eyes on Jesus and keep it going, then He will take care of that in moments. It doesn't take days, it doesn't take years, it doesn't take many hours. It only takes a second for Him to speak a word and things will be calm. Amen? But it takes our faith to arise and trust Him completely. What we like to do is to have a plan B, plan C, plan D, do, do, da, do. I mean, keep on going until Z, then we come back again. But God wanted us to totally depend on Him. Lord, it's you or nothing. We want to go all the way because you are our life. You created heaven and the earth. You have control over this. And here we can see that Jesus, He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Amen? What a wonderful thing. When all these things seems to be so overwhelming, they went to Jesus and Jesus stood up and He simply just said, "Peace, be still." And there were the wind ceased and there was a great calm. In your life, if you are facing any kind of wind and storm and challenges and things and all this stuff, it's time to just turn it over to Jesus. "Lord, you take it from here. I tried my best, but it's not working. Let you do it." And He is more than enough to get us safely to the other side. And we may be thinking, "Wait a minute, Lord. I think, you know, I'm kind of going through all these struggles and situation and hardship and all this thing. Pastor Billy, you just don't understand where we stand. You are not in my shoe. If you're only in my shoe, you will know." Well, I am not. But you know what? There are many people like you are in the same shoes. And here we can see, along with this boat, there was also little boats were with Him. Do you think when that wave came, when the water was coming against them and the wind was coming against, it was coming just to that one boat? No! It was coming against the whole thing there. When they called upon Jesus and Jesus calmed everything down, it's not only calmness to themselves, it is also benefited the people who were around them also. They were traveling with them. They get to have their life in a more peaceful way, more calm way, because of these people called upon the Lord. God is expecting us as the children of God who is walking with Jesus, who has Jesus in us. He wanted us to call to Him. So through our calling, through our seeking, the loved ones, people they know, don't know about Jesus, the family members, the friends and other people that are living around us, their life can change and come to normal through our calling upon Jesus. He can help us and help others as well. Amen? So I just want to encourage you this day to call on the name of the Lord with all your heart, knowing that He is in the boat and you are not going to sink. Just to hold on to Him and He will get you safely to the other side. May God bless you richly. And thank you very much for giving me this tremendous opportunity to share the word with you this day. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I did have one other thing I wanted to ask you about, and it was the village that we put that yes. well in.
Yes, I forgot. I missed that. Actually, Edgewater was able to help us to put this well in this tribal village up in nearby the mountain, and they didn't have water there. They had to walk miles to get that. And a lot of sickness through the water they get. And so when the team was visiting, they had compassion for this forgotten people that are living in the mountain just like animals would be living there. And it has taken such a effort to get the vehicle there, you know, by pulling by tractors and pushing by backhoes. And I mean, it was a real challenge. But I just gave my word and committed. So we somehow made that happen with having those drill well for them. And they have water that they are using from that remote tribal village. And our people are going there once a week and conducting a meeting. And most of them now, they are worshiping Jesus Christ. They've given their hearts to Jesus. They have drinking. Not only just the natural water, they also tasting the living water of Jesus through this means. And recently there was an official, he was taking the census. You know, we have that to know the population of the country, and he was actually visiting there to take all the census of the people. And he looked at this well, and it says about, you know, Jesus and living water and everything. And he looked at the well, and he is like, how come this got here? And this is just totally undoable. And he just totally couldn't believe, after all this, you know, crossing rivers and everything, that that truck came and did that. And they, yeah, how does this, you know, how come this come here, came here? And basically, those people said, Christian people came and Jesus people did this to us. And this officer, he is very highly known for around this entire area. He said, I know only Christian can do something like this, nobody else. I mean, this is a Hindu officer validating Christianity that they have done some action of kindness to this remote place, you know, to remote this village people, and he was thankful that Christians have touched their lives. So thank you so much for being a blessing to these people for the glory of God. Amen.
Do you have some material and stuff like that out on the table?
Yes. I have some CDs there. Please take those with you. I'm not planning to take them back with me to India. I brought all the way from there. So take them with you. And there are so many pictures you can see. You will be very blessed.
And he'll be here tonight. So if you want to grab him and talk to him, I'm sure he'd like to talk to you.
Amen.
And if you would you just extend your hand as we pray for Billy and the ministry that's happening over there? Father, I thank you for Billy. I thank you, Lord, for his passion for you. I thank you that he realizes that the bottom line is, where is that individual going to spend eternity? I pray, Lord, that there would be a continued anointing upon him to oversee this work, Lord, this good work. Pray that you would give him abilities like Nehemiah to build that wonderful facility. That you'd give him, Lord, an anointing like the Apostle Paul to go out and start new churches and found new works, Lord. I pray that you would bless him in his marriage and as a father to his children, Lord. That he'd be able to raise them in righteousness. That he'd be able to display to them a life that is one that's taken up your cross and headed for heaven, Lord. So bless him and enable him, Lord. I thank you for him. Give him safe travels. May he continue to be able to take your message to people. And may, Lord, the hearts of those he speak to be stirred up. May it be good soil that your seed goes into and produces good fruit. 100, 60, 30-fold, Lord. So bless him and keep him, Lord. We thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.